and I will extend a warm, happy Pentecost welcome to you all. It's great to see you, and I hope that this is a renewing and fulfilling service for those of you who need it. All right, and so with all of our celebrations, those that we have named aloud and those that we have kept in our hearts, I would invite us to take a couple deep breaths and remind ourselves that we are here to worship and to praise together. And so let's just bow our heads for a brief moment. We have gathered in Christ's sight.
God bless us all.
Thanks be to God. I remembered what I wanted to celebrate. Of course, though, it's Pentecost Sunday, and we've got a cake up here at the front, and part of celebrating Pentecost is that we also have to take the light from the Christ candle and transfer it to the cake, and I have no idea how that's going to be. But I'm going to get the kids up. Unless you don't want to see sparkling.
One of the longer candles in would work. Yeah. To use it to light from there to there.
Alrighty, man. Beautiful, thank you. Any adults, by the way, that want to be in on this action?
Okay. Trudge.
That's so nice, I didn't even make any of you wear my hat. Does anyone want to light? Okay. If you want to light these three in the center, for God the Father, good, and God the Son, good, and God the Holy Ghost. Great. Okay, and then does someone else want to start lighting the sparklers? That's what they light with. Oh! You want me to? That we're gathering to celebrate the Holy Spirit coming into our lives. And when the Holy Spirit comes, it's pretty exciting and it's kind of scary, just like those things are going. All right. I want to light one, actually. What kind of cake do you think this is? Take a guess. It could be, yeah. Because the colors for the season are white and red, if that helps. It's got vanilla frosting. Oh, last one. Okay, let's give a big hallelujah when it lights, okay? Hallelujah! Too much. You guys should have been here. All right. Of course, the one downside of having sparklers is that on the cake they eventually go out. And the idea behind that Holy Spirit is that there is that brief surge of excitement and wonder and look at it go. But the hope is that in us it would in fact not ever go out like it did there. But we will look at that perhaps for a while and remind ourselves of the excitement of the Holy Spirit moving into our lives. And so we join in our call to worship, where I'm testing you on how you answer. Christ be with you,
and also
with you. Even as the water falls on dry tea leaves and brings out their flavor, so may God's Spirit fall on us and renew us, so that we may bring refreshment and joy to others. And so come, let us worship, and let us pray, as found in our bulletin. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come into our place of worship this day. Come into each heart, each prayer, each song, each life here today.
as you have always done since life has existed. Come so that we may live and love with purpose, courage, and enthusiasm to serve you in this world. Trusting in your name, we pray that you will move among us as wind and fire, as bubbling laughter, as healing touch, as cleansing joy, or as the still small voice of peace. Amen.
And we have our first scripture reading today from James Taylor's Everyday Psalms, and so to that I would invite Jack forward.
So Psalm 104, verses 24 to 34. You made everything, God.
You imagine it and it happens.
You breathe on it and give it life. In your womb we share our origins.
We like to think we look after ourselves with trade and commerce.
With boats that plow the seas.
With trains and trucks and planes.
We braid our lives with busyness.
Yet everything owes its life to you.
Everything continues to depend on you for life.
You bring forth food from the earth and seas from the skies.
By your bounty, all are fed.
If you withdraw your favor, we will all perish.
Without you, we are no more than a collection of chemicals.
You put our breath of life into us.
With each new generation, you renew us.
Our living bodies reveal your spirit.
May our living be acceptable to you, our Lord.
You created volcanoes and the earthquakes and hurricanes and the glaciers.
You shape the earth itself.
Yet you care of us.
We are overwhelmed with gratitude.
This is our understanding.
May it meet with your approval.
Amen. So, I mean, all the kids come up to the front before, so I think this time we'll hover in this nice safe area. Yeah? Okay. So, I said this perhaps before, and you might be able to get an idea of what's going on this Sunday, but this is Pentecost Sunday, right? Do you know what that is? The church's
birthday!
Awesome! Now, how old do you think the church is? It's a pretty big number, but it's not enormous. How's that? Do you think it's older than 10 years?
Yes.
Do you think it's older than 100?
Yes.
Yes. Do you think it's older than 1,000? Say yes, and I'll say that's right. Yes, that's right. What they're thinking, because how the church got started, and this is what I want to share with you guys today, is that some people listen to what Jesus had to say, and they said Jesus was a really smart man, and he showed us a lot about God, and he was the Son of God. This is really big and important, and so they got together kind of in groups of four or five, just like you guys are kind of getting together, yeah? And they started talking about him, and then, you know, you told your friend, and then your friend across the street started telling others. And then eventually, you kind of had all these little groups all over the place. And eventually, they all kind of got together, sort of like the first day of school after everyone comes back from summer vacation. And then they realized how many there were. And then some stuff happened that was really political, and you don't need to know about that. But eventually, the church, as we know it, showed up. And so you had a lot of people, like 50 and 100 and 1,500, huge numbers, and they all got together and they said, Jesus is good, hurrah! Maybe not quite like that, because they didn't speak English, but... But they all got together, and it was the start of something really, really special. And they couldn't have done that without today's event that we're remembering today, which has to do with... Fire! Awesome, yes! Because what happened was you had a whole lot of people coming together, and like, it was like all the people in Fort Nelson. There were that many people, right? And all of a sudden, there was a wind, yeah. And there was a really strong wind, and it sudden, there were these little tongues of fire that started hovering in the air, and people started speaking different languages. So I'd be speaking French, and you'd be speaking, what's another language?
Korean.
Korean, awesome. And another language?
Italian.
Okay, and another language?
Spanish.
All right. Do you know another language? I'm kind of running out of myself.
Swahili.
Sorry?
Swahili.
Swahili. Awesome. I perhaps heard someone over there say German. And so they all started speaking different languages. But the weird thing about that is even though they were speaking different languages, they all understood what each other was saying, even though they didn't know those languages. And the funny thing about this, Mavis is going to read this later, is someone said, oh my gosh, you're drunk. And they said, we can't be drunk because it's 9 o'clock in the morning. This is God. True story. But it sort of came to them, the Holy Spirit rushed through like a wind, and there were tongues of fire, and people started speaking really excitedly in different languages, and everyone said, God is among us, hallelujah! You want to say that together? Let's all say that together, all right? 1, 2, 3.
God is
among
us, hallelujah!
All right. So you guys can grab a balloon, maybe not now, but definitely before you leave. And I know Margaret Ann has something for you to do downstairs. And later in the service, we're having communion, which is a pretty important event, so we can bring you back up for that, okay? So it's going to be a pretty busy Sunday. I will leave you to it. Do you guys want to run out of this door again? All right, go for it. High five. Woo! Sunday school! I think it was more sedate than last week, so bonus.
And as we remember the work of God in our lives and in the lives of others, and as we remember that the Spirit did come in different languages, I humbly present, Mingli, I'm putting you on the spot. And basically the sort of vague suggestion about this was, we know that people speak different languages in the world, but I remember one year I heard scripture being read in Hebrew, and I didn't understand a word of it, but it was just the sound of that, and I was like, well, wouldn't it be nice if we did have someone who understood a different language, and so I asked her maybe if she would want to say Lord's Prayer in a language that she knew, so... Yeah, or you could stay sitting right there.
我们在天上的父，愿你的国降临，愿你的旨意行在地上，如同行在天上。我们日用的饮食，今日赐给我们，免我们的罪，如同我们免了人的罪，不叫我们遇见试探，救我们脱离凶恶。因为国度、权柄、荣耀，全是你的，直到永远。
And that was the Lord's Prayer in
Mandarin. I would invite Mavis forward for our second scripture reading, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21.
Well, good morning, and I am just so delighted. I have never seen a church decorated for Pentecost before. And when Laura said Pentecost is somebody's favorite Sunday, it's always, for many years anyway, it has been mine. To me, it is the foundation of what actually started the church going, the gift of the Holy Spirit. So I've always really liked it, but I've never seen that. So that's just an extra delight. So thank you, Laura, and if you had helpers, thank them.
Mingli,
thank you, Mingli. So I'm going to start at the beginning of chapter 2 in Acts. And the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one of them heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are these not, who are these that are speaking, Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are just filled with new wine.' Then Peter got up and addressed the group, and Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I have to say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what is spoken of through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God declared that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons will, and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. And the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" Thus ends the Acts reading.
The second reading, or third rather, comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 4 to 13. "Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All of these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. For the body is one and has many members, and all are members of the body. And all the members of the body, though many, are one body. So it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit." May God bless our understanding. These readings from the Word. There's a lot to talk about this week, and I didn't know where to start. So I thought maybe I'd start with the basics, which is, It's the church's birthday. And another year has gone by, and the church is 1 year older. And I wonder, will this year be any different? And we remember, of course, the story of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit came to the people, as we have just heard, and it rested upon them. And I love this story so much. I love a lot of stories in the Bible, but I like this one because we say, yes, it is new and it is different and it is God doing wonderful things among us. But what I realized, actually, is that it is definitely God doing stuff, but it is not God parting the water. It is not God doing stuff. It is God resting among the people. And the people are doing stuff. The people are prophesying. The people are the ones opening their mouths and letting the words flow forth. It is the people. And it is wonderful. And it is so wonderful, people can't believe it, so they say they're drunk. I love how 9 o'clock in the morning is an excuse that it's, no, we're not drunk, we can't be drunk this early. But the Holy Spirit came to the people and showed itself among them. And the Holy Spirit, I think, often kind of disappears as we talk about the Holy Trinity. You know, we have God the Father, or God the Creator, no problem. We have God the Son, Christ, no problem. Christians are pretty solid on Christ. But we don't have a lot of Holy Spirit in the church. Well, I should say maybe we do, but we don't talk a lot about the Holy Spirit in the church. People are uncertain about how to handle the Holy Spirit because it's not really gendered, so you can't say she or he. It's kind of it. It's not as personal. And yet, it is the Holy Spirit that comes to us personally. We were certain, or we are certain, looking at that scripture on this day, that the Holy Spirit came, that God was among the people, and this was something amazing. And as we go through the Bible, there are similar stories of amazing things that are happening, and amazing revelations, and these solid certainties, either of people seeing things happen, or utterly certain that they will happen. Oh, they are certain. There's another story like that, and we haven't heard about it today, but it is the story of the ark. And just very briefly, because this ties in very well. After the floods came, after the floods were still around, but the rains had stopped, Noah sent out a dove, right? And the dove, you know, kind of circled around and came back, and they sent it out again, and it circled, and it found the olive branch, and it came back. And the dove is wonderful. We know where we stand with the dove because it is nice and certain and pure and clean and white and pristine. But what we often forget, though, in amidst this certainty and cleanliness of the story, is that before Noah sent out a dove, he sent out a raven. It's like two words in the Bible, but it's there. And what this raven did was the raven was sent out, and all scripture says is it flew back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. The raven never came back. And we say, oh, the raven was bad. But if you think about it, if you think about the certainty of being promised new land, the certainty of sending out a bird and you will get new land, God has promised this, and you are that raven, and you are sent out, and through a miracle you know what your purpose is, and you launch into the sky and you feel the sun warm on your back and you don't really start looking yet because you just spread your wings and you flap and you enjoy the fresh air for the first time in 40 days of cooped upness. And you start flying. And you fly. And you fly. And there's water everywhere. But you have been promised land. And surely it must be there. So you keep flying.
And you keep looking. And there's no land. But there must be, because you were promised. And so you fly on, and you're starting to feel the strain in your wings. But you say, surely not yet. Surely there, it must be there. I'll just look harder. And so your eyes start to scan the water, the not land below you. But all there is water. The occasional fish jumps up. Just water. Water, water everywhere, and not a drop of land in sight. And doubt starts to settle in. We were promised land. We were certain that there would be land. But it's not here yet. Do I go back? And that is the question that we are faced as we celebrate the church's birthday and are too faced with uncertainty. The certainty of our promise is one day we will be united with God, and one day we will have the kingdom realized on earth, and one day there will be no more suffering. But right now, we are the raven, and we are flying. And when faced with uncertainty, the question for us is, do we keep on going, or do we turn back? The raven didn't turn back, actually. The raven kept going, never returned to where it came from. And while it flew and flew and flew, we know, looking back in history, yes, one day there was land. And probably when the dove was over there, the raven said, I saw it first and was dive-bombing in. But that is for a later day. For us, right now, we are the raven. Promised land, promised unity, promised that we are one in the Spirit. But we are not there yet. We are still flying. For me today, when I look at the stories of Scripture and the words of truth that they hold, and I look at the world today, and I think it's ironic because I'm in full preacher mode, right, or full preacher garb. I have trouble. My uncertainty comes in seeing God in the world today. It is so easy to see God in the world in the past because I'm like, oh, look, they said it's right there. God appeared among the people, his tongues of fire. Great. For me today, I fly on forever, it seems, looking for God in this world. And I have been promised, we have promised that God has not abandoned us, that the Holy Spirit moves among us. And if you've ever felt that nice, cool breath of wind on your face, you know that wind still exists. And so surely the Holy Spirit must still rest with us. But oh, to find that, to find the certainty of the promise realized, that is something I still look for, I still hope for. I think we are still looking for that, still hoping for that. And we fly on as the raven flew on. And as we do, I would hope that not all the time, but enough to refresh us, that the sun, which burns strongly with trillions of tongues of fire, however many miles away, would shine down on us and warm our backs and give us the strength to fly on, because one day there will be land. One day there will be true unity with God and with each other, to hear differences and to know that we are all speaking the same praise. But for now, for better or worse, another year has gone by. And the church is 1 year older. And I wonder if this year will be any different. May the Holy Spirit rest among us and give us the tongues to speak and to be somehow the dove in the midst of our ravenness.
as we show that we are one in the Spirit, so that they will know that we are Christians by our love. Acknowledging the spirit of service that calls us to be Christians. Could I ask someone to go downstairs and get the kids? Please. Thanks. We celebrate the Spirit of God here among us today, who hovered over creation and brought order out of formlessness. We praise the Spirit of God. We celebrate the Spirit of God who filled Jesus with power and wisdom, and through him made the life of God available to all.
We praise the Spirit of God.
We celebrate the Spirit of God who has been poured out on all people and leads us into the kingdom of God.
We praise the Spirit of God.
And so, as we gather at the Lord's table, we recognize the Spirit's presence among us, and we open our hearts to the Holy Spirit's influence.
Wonderful God,
we come knowing that we depend on you for life and truth and love. We come knowing that you welcome us with open and accepting arms.
We come ready to meet with you and be changed by you.
For that communion, which is one of the two sacraments, the holy event, the holy happenings, recognized by the United Church of Canada, we remember the very night, last night, that Jesus Christ walked among us as a human here on earth. And he knew he was going to be betrayed by one of his best friends. But still, he thought of others. And he got into that upper room, which was closed in and probably wooden like this one. And he took the bread, because it was a simple meal. And he said, God, thank you for this bread. He took it and he broke it. And he gave it to all his friends around him at the table. And he gave it to the one who eventually betrayed him. And he said, take, eat. This is my body broken for you. And whenever you do this, remember me. And after the bread was eaten, and the disciples, his friends, were reflecting on what he had said, he took the wine, which was what everyone drank in those days, and he poured it out. And as his friends and the one who betrayed him watched and wondered, he said, this is the blood of the new covenant in my blood shed for you. Whenever you do this, whenever you drink this, remember me. And so as we gather around the table, remembering Christ, remembering how important he was to us, how important he is to us, we gather around this table. And we are both bold and humble to share in what Christ has given to us to be shared. And so I would invite us, perhaps, to remain seated as the elements are passed around. We will each take a piece of the bread, and we will hold it in our hands until we have all taken one. And then, just as Jesus and his disciples ate together, we too will eat together. And then after the bread has been eaten, the wine, the juice, will also be passed around. And we will each take a glass. And then, just as Christ and his disciples all drank together and wondered what the future would hold, we will drink together and wonder what the future will hold. Yeah. bread broken and wine poured, we remember that Christ lived among us and loved us. And I say to you that this is not just these elements, this is not just the table of the United Church of Canada or even Hillcrest United. This is the table of God. This is the stuff of God. And it is God who says, as long as you want to do good, as long as you profess to follow Christ, you are welcome. You can eat this. Because God loves us no matter what. Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Jesus Christ, the true vine. Let us stand and declare after communion, as both thanks and promise, to thank Christ for this meal of remembrance, and to thank God for coming to us in the Spirit's power as we have shared us.
May the love we find at this table be reflected in our lives. May the power we receive at this table make us peacemakers and healers. And may the Spirit who fills us again at this table lead us to be those who proclaim God's kingdom in every word we speak and in everything we do. Hallelujah!
Amen. Let us pray. Gentle God, to those who have hunger, give bread.
And to those who have bread, give hunger for justice.
Amen. Let us continue to bow our heads in prayer as we remember the community. O God, lover of the world, you hold all that you have created within your compassionate embrace. As you hold our lives torn by pain, sorrow, or hatred within your aching heart, we cry out for wholeness for ourselves, for those we love, and for our world. May your healing spirit gently transform the places of our lives where we hold pain. May your loving spirit be a comforting reality for all those who find themselves in despair, lost, or alone. May your transforming spirit create generosity in place of greed, harmony in place of hatred, and everlasting justice for evil minds. O God, lover of the world, we bring before you these people and places that need your healing, loving, transforming presence. This week we pray for Daphne and Anne and ask for your strength to rest with the family and friends of Al Parker and Blanche Peach.
And for the families of Joe Metzina, who've just had to suffer his death. And for the people of the world where war is tearing them apart and they're having to flee to try to keep their body and soul together and leave everything else behind. God, we ask you to be with them, help them. We ask for some sanity in the crazy world situation.
O God, lover of the world, this is your world, and we claim your power and your presence with us in the Holy Spirit to make it whole. Amen. And we are bold to continue to pray using the words that Christ taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be
thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And so our service this week draws to a close.
I thought perhaps before we had our closing hymn of Idlewise, it is a bit unfair, I see, you know, to have such a special Sunday and not sort of send us out with something special, so... Mwahaha. I would invite everyone to get within, dun-dun-dun, hand-holding distance. I don't know if we want to stand for... let's just stand in sort of two rows along the pews here. Okay. The idea behind this, I actually got this out of the Sparks, brainstorming, but the idea is that we remember how the Holy Spirit moved among us, or the people back then, and how it was amazing and special and almost kind of exhilarating in a way that's hard to put into words. It's more of a physical thing. So, we sort of did this with telephone, right? Is you hold hands, and when you feel the squeeze, you pass it on. So we're going to do a trial run. We are the church. I think it's funny because I can see it working. The Spirit of God moves among us, binding us in covenant with faithful people of every time and place, whether we'd understand them or not. The Spirit stirs within us, moving us to live the gospel among all people. The Spirit moves through us, making us the channels of God's love. And as we go forth, let us open ourselves to feeling that Spirit, to feeling the change within us, so that we may live as Christ would have us live, remembering who we are in the end as we live in this world. We belong to God, we are the church, and it's its birthday. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.